Susie. She was an exciting and attractive young lady, just fascinated with life. Seems like everything she turned her hand to, she just did exceptionally well. She enjoyed athletics, and she would participate in track events and soccer and things like that. And much to the chagrin of her brothers, she always brought home straight A's. Her teachers encouraged her, saying that she just had really good athletic ability, and beyond that, she really had a flair, especially for the sciences. As she went through high school, many of her teachers and her guidance counselors suggested to her that, you know, Susie, you could have a really great career in the natural sciences, maybe something like medicine or research or something like that. You just do so well and you show so much interest in those areas. But way down in the depths of Susie's heart, what she really wanted, though she never said it, she wanted to be like her mother. She wanted to be a wife. She wanted to be a mom. Well, throughout her high school years, she didn't date much because she was too busy playing soccer, basketball, really did well in track. Matter of fact, she won first place in the state for the 100-meter dash. Just really enjoyed it. So never built many relationships. And when graduation time came, she had to decide what she was going to do. And she came from a godly home, and she prayed about it with her mom and dad. And they thought that because she did excel in the sciences and things like that, it would be very appropriate for her to go away to the local university and begin to pursue those things. So she did, and she took a course that majored in the area of natural science and was enjoying it. And again, bringing home those straight A's, just doing so well. But late in her sophomore year, she met Billy. Billy had taken a different course in life. He was studying business. But he also came from a godly home, and they began to build a relationship and began to talk about marriage. And as they talked about marriage, they had to make some important decisions. What would they do? And through the counsel of both their homes, Billy and Susie decided that Susie would set aside her career hopes, and they would establish a good old traditional family, and she would stay home and trust that God would give them children, and they would just have a good old solid Bible home. God gave that to them. The early years were tough. Boy, just buying groceries at the end of the week and new shoes for the kids, and she often was patching the jeans and things like that to make ends meet. But they got through the years and did well. Now, Billy and Susie are mostly alone at the dinner table. Children are raised and gone. Susie went back to school and finished her education, and she's a physician's assistant at a local clinic. Billy is head of one of the big corporations in town. But you know, as they sit at the dinner table, their great joy isn't the careers that they've successfully completed, but they talk about their children and their grandchildren. And they're so grateful for the life that God gave them. And they look back on those years of sacrifice and even sometimes of hardship. I'm so grateful that God blessed them with those years and those times. The role of the man and the woman, the role of the father and the mother, is a central role to life. And on this Mother's Day, I would like for us to pause and take a biblical look at this and to take opportunity to say, thanks, Mom. I know it was tough. And I know I didn't make it any easier. But thanks for being Mom. And I think as husbands, it would be good for us to look at our wives and say, you know what, I don't often show it, but I know that you make huge sacrifices every day as you don't live for yourself. You live for our home and you live for our children. And I see that, I acknowledge it, and I appreciate it. And I want you to know, as pastor, I just have huge respect for our young mothers. I can't imagine the endurance and strength it takes to face this role day after day after day with unceasing devotion, energy, and commitment. It is something we ought to honor with our respect and our admiration. And before we look at the scripture today, let's pray. Our Father, as we open your word today to discuss this wonderful thing that you've created, we didn't devise this great plan. We didn't create man and woman. We didn't find a way to procreate. You've put that in us. You've blessed us with that privilege. Indeed, with that honor. And we want to look at it today, recognize it, and see that it is the very root of our society, and enjoy the blessings of a gracious, all-wise Heavenly Father. Grant that we might reach those ends today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. In many ways, a woman today has to do battle with our society just to be a godly woman and mother. And her sacrifices, and I say I didn't choose this word quickly, her sacrifices are gargantuan. I want to begin today by taking you to the book of 1 Timothy, and we're going to kind of jump around a little bit today, looking at some verses of Scripture. We're going to start at 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14. Peter is instructing, or Paul is instructing Timothy here in his work as a pastor. And he instructs Timothy on how to instruct the women of the church, especially the younger women. And he says this, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. That is a great assignment and a great obligation. It is to be the general course of a woman's life. It ought to be her highest purpose, potential, and priority. It is no secret that there are concerted efforts in our society to belittle, if not destroy, this godly role and priority. We sit, I mentioned this in prayer this morning, we sit at a crisis in our nation when the very role of man and woman are being abusively handled and ignorantly frustrated. It is incredibly perverse. The places that some within our nation hope to take it. This role of woman and the place of family is the very root and foundation of our society. We will not make our nation better by science or by better uses of energy or by more wealth or more military strength. What we need to make our nation better is better homes. God bless those men and women who give their effort to that what appears to be a very menial and even today unpopular task. Go with me to Genesis chapter 2. We cannot address this subject without addressing creation. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 to 24, we find this. This is a restatement, incidentally, of creation. It is an amplification of it that comes out of the first chapter. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a help meet for him." How interesting the Holy Spirit it is in how he has presented this. Here is Adam, that sole creation that is different from all of creation in that when God made Adam, he breathed into him the breath of life. And unlike the beast or anything else, man became a living soul. And Adam stood there isolated as the sole representative of this creation. God was not caught by surprise, but he did it in this order to teach us a very important lesson. We find that it is not good that man should be alone. And so God began the quest of finding a companion for man to make a help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a help appropriate for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Need I speak to you of the eternal goodness and kindness of God? Need I speak to you of his unassailable wisdom and knowledge? And he, with all of his goodness and all of his wisdom and all of his knowledge and all of his expertise, made a woman for man. That stands alone as an argument for the role of man and the role of woman. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of a man." That is the sole origin of man and woman. It comes from the creative hand of God. To attempt to alter or confuse the clearly created roles of man and woman is utter folly and wicked rebellion against God. And we need to see that clearly, utter it forcibly, and stand by it faithfully in these days. Not only do we have those created roles, but we have a commanded purpose and mission. If you turn back with me to the first chapter of Genesis in verse 27, we find the account going this way as God speaks of the purpose and mission of man. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. There's been much said this last week in the news about some people being on the wrong side of history. I say to you that those who say that we are on the wrong side of history acknowledge that they are on the wrong side of God. There is a purpose for man and woman. The purpose does include the subduing of the earth. It does include science and energy and research. But above and beyond all of those things, it includes families, procreation, raising boys and girls to know and love the God who created them. The clear direction for union between man and woman and the directive to bear children is clearly in the first chapter of God's book. It must hold the highest priority with God that He has given it such an early position within His book. To destroy this is to destroy the world. Paul, in his writing, gave clear directives to preserve and enable this institution of the home. It ought to sit with us men, as our highest priority. Our great priority can't be that we rise to great levels in our careers, or that we gain the esteem of our associates and the people in our community. Our highest priority must be our homes. Come what may, our homes must thrive. And they'll only thrive, men, as we give our devotion to those homes. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and let me show you how we give that devotion to our homes. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. Boy, that's clear. That's pointed. And I don't think I say anything that surprises any of you men this morning, especially you older men, that you were married several years before you learned to love your wife, before you found out what that really was. Oh yeah, before I married her, I was attracted to her. I enjoyed her attention, and I enjoyed being with her, and I had this emotional bond to her. But through the years, men, we've learned to love those girls and care for them even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. I think, men, that there is something to be said for this, that in a real way, our wives raise our children and we raise our wives. You're going to have to get out ahead of her spiritually. You're going to have to get out ahead of her emotionally. You're going to have to get out ahead of her in maturity so that you can be the leader of your home, the sustainer of your home, the provider for your home, even as God has directed. That's what Christ did for the church, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. I say it this way. God gave me a graphic illustration of my prowess as a husband about 10 years into our marriage. I think I've shared this story with you before. It was Saturday morning. We had to go to camp and pick up the kids who had been at camp all week. Charlotte got up ahead of me, and like she often does. She was standing at the closet trying to decide what to wear, and she was weeping. I said, "What in the world is wrong with you?" "I don't know what to wear." Now, I'm not saying God spoke to me that day, but here's what I heard. When I married her 10 years ago, she was excited about life. She was happy. She was joyous. She was vivacious. And after 10 years of me, she stands in front of a closet crying, wondering what she's going to put on and wear. And God says, "I had her for 20 years and delivered her to you, a happy, excited young lady. You had her 10 years and this is what you've done to her." It was time for me to renew my devotion to the task that God had given me. And men, I want to encourage you this morning to renew your devotion to the task that God has given you. It is never over. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. We have our own part, men, to secure our homes. It does not rest so much in your career and your provision as it does in your mature leading of the home as a godly man and husband. I find it interesting that it's a commandment that we should love our wives. Let me give you some words, I think, that reflect this. Respect, appreciation, admiration, support, sympathy. There are five words that kind of can direct your thinking about how I ought to love my wife. It's not giving her gifts. Now, I'm not opposed to giving gifts, although I'm not good at giving gifts at all. But your gifts cannot substitute for respect, appreciation, admiration, support, and sympathy. Do you know that this weekend, Americans will give to their mothers the equivalent of $19 billion in gifts? Isn't that amazing? Can I stop and make a statement? This weekend, America has voted for the traditional family. You show me one man, either side of the aisle, running for office who's going to raise $19 billion this year for their election campaign. The poll that counts has just been taken. America has voted for mom and the family. I want to make one more statement. Older women, it is your job to also work at preserving the family. Turn with me to the book of Titus, chapter 2. Paul is writing to Titus here, instructing him on rearing up a church and the people in it. And in verse 3 and 4, he talks to the aged women. He said, "Instruct the aged women likewise that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Older women, you've raised your families. You've done your job. Now it's time for you to defend the ones who are coming up behind you. It's your time to encourage them that the sacrifices they make, that the devotion they put to it is worth their energy and commitment. Child rearing and bearing is a limited period of time and opportunity for a woman. And it ought to be your first choice. It is an intense time. It is central to the strength and prosperity of our society. Let us admire, support, and honor this God-given task and role. And I say thank you to you moms for the price that you've paid. I give you one more, that time's gone. I give you one more illustration. I don't know how far we were into our marriage. And here it was. It was midnight. I go to bed at 10 o'clock. Charlotte had one kid in her hip and a bunch of tomatoes boiling on the stove she was canning. And as a good supportive husband, I said, "Why in the world are you doing that?" The strength and devotion of these young creatures just absolutely fascinates me. And I'm grateful for it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time that we could consider how your grace has blessed our lives. Thank you for the women you have brought to us. Thank you for their godliness, for their devotion, for their perseverance, for their strength, for their energy. We want to give it the respect and esteem that we ought to give it. We want to support it with our own strength. Thank you for our mothers. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thanks, Mom. Appreciate you and all you've done. And you young ladies, keep up the good work. God bless you.